Hello, this is Hussein Askari, talking to you from Stockholm in Sweden. I'm honored to be able to address you in this CEC International Conference in Australia. I would like to thank the organizers of the conference for providing me this opportunity. I have provided them with a special Executive Intelligence Review pamphlet or edition, which includes all the articles we have written in the recent months until recently about the economic development potential for Egypt, our own proposals, and what has been achieved. So that you can get from the organizers of the conference. So I'm not going to go through much details about the economic development project. This week I have an executive intelligence review. The feature article is about my report on the Economic Development Conference and the International Water Technology Conference in Egypt, which I attended in Sharm el-Sheikh in early March. And I was in Egypt for 1 week, from the 9th to the 16th of March. I spent 3 days in Cairo and then 5 days in Sharm el-Sheikh, where the conferences took place. If we go to the first slide of the world land bridge, just to give you an idea of the position of Egypt in the context of the LaRouche movement's idea, which has now been adopted by China and many BRICS countries for the construction of the development corridors between the continents. You can see also in the next slide, which would zoom in, the number 12 position of Egypt, which you can see clearly it's in a very, very interesting strategic position, both on the land bridge and the what the president of China calls the maritime Silk Road. And Egypt's position between three continents and several seas makes it a key element, both politically, economically, and even culturally, between, you know, for the future of this international conference. Sorry, for this international project. When I was in Cairo, I saw firsthand, by seeing the city itself and talking to the people there, I mean, Cairo with the Nile, everything looks beautiful. The problem is that Cairo, with the 20 million people population, is an exhausted city. You can see the scars of 30 and more years of destructive economic policy, which was followed by the Egyptian governments under the control of such international institutions as the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, who were collaborating with the United States and the EU governments. For free trade, deconstruction of the economy, and non-investment at all in the infrastructure, education, or the healthcare of the population. You can see very clearly how tired this nation is of these policies. When you go to the Nile, in the central part of the city, you are faced with a huge building which is burned down, and it's kept that way until now, since 2011, because it's a reminder for both the people and the politicians in the country that the nation is no longer going to tolerate the same policies again. This is the building of the former dictator Hosni Mubarak's ruling party, the Democratic Unionist Party. And what people in Egypt hate most, there are several things. They hate equally. They hate the poverty they have been subjected to. They hate the former dictator, Mubarak. They hate the Muslim Brotherhood, who almost destroyed the country, but they managed to save it in 2012. But also they hate equally the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, and the Obama administration, which has wreaked havoc, including also the Bush administration, but most recently the Obama administration, which has wreaked havoc all around Egypt, in Libya, in Syria, now in Yemen, with the allies of the Obama administration and the British in Saudi Arabia. So the people in Egypt have lost complete faith in all these international institutions, and this has gave actually the the leadership, the new leadership of President al-Sisi, the possibility to seek new avenues for economic development, political and strategic relations. It was obvious during the visit by President of Russia, Vladimir Putin, last February to Cairo, and the agreements that were signed, it was very clear that Egypt is now entering what we can call the BRICS dynamic, that the government of Egypt have realized that all the previous policies are actually destructive policies, and that a new path towards the future has to be charted. In the Sharm el-Sheikh conference, the Egypt Economic Development Conference, it became very, very clear that the policies which we have proposed for Egypt, actually since the 1980s by Mr. Lyndon LaRouche and Mrs. Helga Tseplarouche and their associates, all the way until now, with their ups and downs, that these policies for the reconstruction of the economy of Egypt are now will be pursued and will be built. There are certain pitfalls that the government of Egypt has to deal with regarding the credit policy and foreign investment, which I outlined in my recent feature article. But it's very, very clear, as you see in this picture of President al-Sisi in the final session of the Economic Development Conference, where he asked all the youth, the Egyptian youth in the room, to join him at the podium, and he spoke. And he spoke specifically about the future. And the conference title actually was called Egypt, the Future, to outline both for the people and for the international community that Egypt is now having its potential and its emotional and economic resources and human resources directed towards the future. And in that conference, there were a number of very, very significant agreements were signed that are related to, first of all, infrastructure, energy production, and agricultural development. I have outlined these projects, but you can see in the in this map of the development project, the next map, is the rectangular area around the Suez Canal will be one of the most active industrial zones in the whole Middle East and in Africa. There already the government has decided to build a new extension of the Suez Canal to facilitate the shipping activities in the canal between Asia and Europe. There will be along the more than 150 kilometers of the old, both the new and the old canal, there will be industrial projects of all sorts. There will be new ports, there will be railways, there will be factories for building trains in collaboration with China, and so on and so forth. There will also be a new port south of the Suez Canal at the Ain al-Sukhna port, which is outlined in the number 4, to build a new port and power stations and a railway extension to south of Cairo, where there is an industrial area in Helwan. This industrial area was developed actually under the former president Gamal Abdel Nasser in the 1960s and 70s. It includes the steel industry, cement industry, textile industry, and so on and so forth, military industries. So this whole zone will be developed and integrated in the whole Egyptian and international economy as a new industrial and economic development zone. There will be also, because of the lack of power in Egypt, there will be the construction, there are deals signed with the Siemens of Germany and General Electric of the United States to increase the capacity of the Egyptian power generation by at least half the existing capacity now. But to fuel that power generation, they need to produce new, more conventional fuel like gas, oil, and coal to power these generations. And there was large deals were signed with British Petroleum, of all other companies, and the Italian Eni to produce new gas and explore for new gas in the Mediterranean coast of Egypt. Now, as you see, and at number one, we have a zone there that's going to be the site of the first large Egyptian nuclear power plant, which will be built by Russian company Rosatom. This agreement was signed with President Vladimir Putin, when President Vladimir Putin was in Cairo last February. So it's very, very clear that the intention of the government is to both increase the power capacity of the country, but turn the whole economy towards an industrial basis. Because the previous policies was that Egypt, the 90 million people of Egypt, will survive on tourism, on exporting vegetables and fruits and so on and so forth. That idea does not exist anymore. Yes, there will be agricultural development programs. Some of them will be directed towards export of food, but that would be a different policy, because Egypt's own self-sufficiency in food comes first, according to people in the government and people I have talked to. If we go to the next slide, you can see the demographic map of Egypt, which is completely unnatural. I mean, almost 90 million people of Egypt live on only 5% of the country. And the United States aid organizations, USAID, the UN Population Program, the EU, many countries were pouring money into Egypt to reduce the population, saying that there is a population explosion in Egypt, while you have 94% of the country completely abandoned, where you can actually have both agriculture and industrial development and building new cities to bring a large portion of the Egyptian people, especially the youth, into the desert areas. That brings us to the next map, which we call, or an Egyptian scientist who have been working with American space agency NASA, Dr. Farouk Elbaz, calls it the development corridor, which is based on building new agro-industrial cities in the desert based on exploring groundwater, a technology which he and others have developed in NASA for exploring the enormous amounts of water that exist under the desert in Egypt, Sudan, Libya, the so-called Grand Nubian Sandstone Aquifer. And that will be utilized now for the building of new agricultural zones and urban centers, industrial centers. Actually, in these areas, you have also large amounts of minerals that can be explored through mining. But it also includes building a high-speed rail from north of Egypt all the way down to the border with Sudan. It will be connected with the Nile Valley, existing Nile Valley infrastructure network, and so on and so forth. This will bring about, the plan of the Egyptian government is to reclaim about 4 million acres of land from the desert and use modern technology, modern agricultural and irrigation technology to develop these regions. Now, this will be divided into national government companies, Egyptian youth who will be offered land plots, and international investors who could grow food there for export reasons. So that's something which is both the president himself in the Economic Development Conference and other officials have announced that this is going to be the official policy of Egypt. And several contracts are already signed. In the next slide, we see the Minister of Water Resources and Irrigation, Dr. Hossam Mogazi, speaking at the conference where I spoke on water issues in Africa. And he, in that conference, the day before the economic conference, this conference was the International Water Technology Conference, he announced, actually, before going to the economic conference, before it was announced, he announced here that the government has already assigned 1 million acres of land for both water exploration and agricultural development. In the next slide, you see the same minister, Mogazi, taking a picture with the attendance of the conference, and you can see that he's holding in his hand our special EIR feature on Egypt economic development. I'm somewhere there in the crowd. Maybe you can see that. But this was a very important announcement, which the people in this water conference, they're mostly young Egyptian scientists who work on actually developing the water resources. You can see in the next slide, I have this is a picture of myself with Dr. Safiuddin Mitwalli, who is a very interesting character. He's a scientist. He's the head of the Desert Research Institute, National Desert Research Institute. But what is interesting with him, and I have an interview with him, which will be published next week in EIR, is that he is educated and trained in the United States together with NASA scientists like Dr. Farouk Elbaz. And he is, of course, very appreciative of the scientific culture in the United States. But he is the kind of person who's now will be working on the desert development using the most advanced space technology for exploration of groundwater and planning the agricultural land. So this is the kind of Egyptian cadre who are now emerging through the assignment of the government to rebuild the Egyptian economy. And those people are mostly young people, actually. I mean, of the 90 million Egyptians, more than half are under the age of 30. So you can imagine that they have the whole future ahead of them. So what I want to emphasize is that Egypt, both for the strategic and political and cultural reasons, will be very, very important for the future development of the whole, what we call the BRICS dynamic. It's a very ancient civilization, very young population, but a very proud people too. And they are the most significant political and military force in the region, and that is being eyed by enemies of Egypt and the BRICS as a problem, but also it's being, that's one of the pitfalls which I have been warning against, is that the Gulf countries, like Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates and Kuwait, who actually donated enormous amounts of money to Egypt in this economic conference, about $12 billion, they want Egypt to stay in the Anglo-American Saudi camp, which is now spreading wars all over the place, including in Yemen, as we saw yesterday or the day before, where the Saudi airplanes bombed the capital of Yemen. And they want to drag Egypt into that trap to continue the sectarian and religious wars, which we already started with the invasion of Iraq in 2003. But I'm very confident that the Egyptian people, the intellectuals, and the scientific and the political elites are not really interested in this. But the pressure is enormous. But I think that their idea of reaching into the future and working with the BRICS nations and whoever else, even if the United States changes its policy or Europe changes its policy, they will be ready to work with all those actors in order to be able to rebuild their nation, but also help stabilize the whole region and develop Africa. So that's something which we are working actively to make sure that happens. And I'm sure people on the other side in Egypt are both listening, but also taking note of these very important developments. So I hope this gives you a sense of the developments in Egypt, and just to get the first-hand idea of all the details of this, I just ask you to get a copy of the EIR and the special pamphlet which I mentioned earlier. So thank you very much.